start this off. We got some funny questions about my history. Did I get caught with drugs as a drug dealer? Oh my God. Yes and no, but I'll go through that in a second. We got quick gambling questions. We got quit weed questions, quit alcohol questions. We have build website questions. We got it all. Wait a sec. Nick, where are you from, man? I know you. You're Nick. I know you. I definitely know you. I think we're Facebook friends, something like that. Speaking of which, I think I just posted the link in Facebook, which means it's going to demonetize. It puts it down, you know. The algorithm punishes us, even in our own Facebook group of 5,000 members. Even if I say something, it kind of puts it down. Anyway, let's go on with the questions. If you guys have any, you're from Alberta, Canada. True, man. That makes a lot of sense. Because I know you, I've seen you, I've seen your stuff. You're quite talented. Oh, we had a one-on-one call. Yeah, you're talented. That must be a long time ago, a call. I know you from your rapping on Facebook, and you're really good. Which is funny, man. I got so many rappers on my list because so many people come through the quit weed or quit alcohol funnel, right? So if you guys don't know about my business, it all funnels in from you got quit weed, quit alcohol, quit gambling, and quit cigarettes. And they all kind of funnel in together. And then it just squeezes into Evolve already. And from there, it goes to coaching. And we have calls like this. But this is the first one I've done in a long time that's just kind of for just come and see who arrives or whatever. Usually, it's just Evolve already subscribers. And Tamina, I know you're in Evolve already. I don't know who a couple of you are, but that's back on this Tuesday. Yeah, the call's back on this Tuesday. So Tuesday night, which for you is going to be silly o'clock. But it's silly o'clock for you now, right? I think it's 4 a.m. for you. So it's hard to accommodate for England, but I want to end up having two, one in the afternoon and evening. 2 a.m.'s fine. Anyone can do 2 a.m. We had a thing going on before. Just let me know if you're from which funnel, right? Are you guys talking about quit weed? Are you from quit alcohol? Are you from quit gambling? Or are you from quit cigarettes? I know no one's from quit gambling, but we have a question or two from quit gambling. Oh, so quit weed, Nick. Yeah, all right. I'll focus more on the quit weed questions then, yeah? To start it off, keep it light. Did I ever get caught with drugs as a drug dealer? Man, there's so many stories I could tell you about that. One of the funniest ones. Man, one time, all right, I'll just tell you the quick two stories that I nearly got caught. And then the one I actually got caught is a bit of a long story, so I won't go into that. But two times I nearly got caught, I had this bright yellow canary Corolla. And I remember we were sitting at McDonald's and I just did a drug deal with the Don. He's the big guy with all the money and the connections and all of that. And I wasn't too big. I was really young. I was probably less than 20. And I bought about a pound, which was 3,200 for me. Between 3,200, 3,800, depending on what time of year it was. Around Christmas, the price went up a lot. But I just did the deal and I was just taking off. And I had a lot of respect for the Don, you know. I looked up to him. And I was pulling out of McDonald's and I did a little burnout, right, as I was pulling out. And then the cop just pulled me up. Like, he was in the McDonald's car park. He just pulled me up straight away. I didn't see him. And then I just remember this because it was one of those times where thinking before speaking really helps you, right? And I had the forethought to say the right thing. So he came up, he got out of the car. I had the pound on the passenger seat just sitting there. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I put that under the chair, right? Make sure nobody can see that. And then he came up to the window and he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? So this is the time you could panic and just be like, oh, I just bought tons of weed, whatever, you know, take me to jail. But I said to him, oh, I did a little bunny hop coming out of the McDonald's, right? A little bunny hop is when you do a little kind of burnout. Oh, Kara, something's wrong with your audio and you can't hear anything. Can everyone hear me? Yeah, my microphone's on and good. It must be your audio. Yeah, it must be your audio, Kara. Anyway, yeah, that's the time I really nearly got caught. Cop came up, he was all serious, and I'm like, mate, I just did a bunny hop coming out of McDonald's. I know, I'm stupid. And he just went, exactly, don't do it again. And he didn't give me a ticket or nothing, and he just went away. But I was like, man, like, he just missed me. He just missed me, really just missed me. Yeah, keep trying, Kara. Maybe come back out and in. I don't know, there's just always a problem with Zoom or something like that. Yeah, that was one time. Another time was actually even worse, and it was in the same location because this was at Ginninderra College in Belconnen. where a lot of deals went down in that area because it was a dodgy school. When, you know, it was a cool school actually, but there was a lot of business in that area. So another time I was there and the cops pulled me over randomly because I was just dodgy looking, and they went through my bags and everything. I had all these school bags in the back seat from all my friends, and my stuff was in there, and he just luckily didn't find it. So there's two times that I really could have got caught. For those involved, you guys know about the prison technique I talk about. Tamina, I know you know about that. We spoke about it. But these are some of the times that I nearly got caught, and I keep in mind of what it could have been like. Yes, doing it. And then there's a time I actually got caught, which if you're involved, you know about that. Tamina, you know about that. But that's a longer story. I won't go into that. So let's talk about it. Nick, I know you're there. I see you, man. You're on. You did send a question, so I'm going to scroll to it, all right? If I can find it. Oh, here it is, Nick. All right, so Nick wrote in. Nick's a rapping gangster on Facebook. And he wrote, "Hey, Tristan, here's a question. When you allow yourself to smoke weed, as you mentioned in a previous video that you did recently, wherein you said you went on a trip somewhere and allowed yourself to indulge, do you have strong urges that require more effort to overcome after you're allowed and a lot of time is over?" Yeah, man, I go to Thailand. I went to Thailand, I was talking about. That was actually the first time I got COVID. I was first in the world to get COVID, I reckon. I'm patient zero. Thailand in Koh Phangan, that's where I went. And I smoked weed for a whole month. Do I require more effort, or are you such a Zen master that it does not affect you at all? Just asking because I feel that I'm finally in a place where I'm fully realizing on a deep level that I'm much better off without weed. That's good. But I sometimes wonder if I'll ever do it again, and if I do, what it will be like next morning. I realize you're a different person with different experience, perception, and makeup, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on the matter. Thanks a lot. Yeah, Nick, I'm definitely not a Zen master. I'm the opposite of a Zen master. That's why I do what I do. You know, have you ever heard that shit? The people write the book they need to read. They don't write the book they're a master on. I was the worst. I was the worst at it all. I was just completely addicted to weed, and nobody else was, like, that I talked to, doctors and all that kind of stuff. You do that with your raps. What do you do with your raps? Oh, like, you want to get better at them, and that's why you do them? Right, what I need to hear. Yeah. Well, I think you would be one of the people that would completely know about it. Do you want to chat? Do you want to come on?
What up?
What up, Nick?
Yeah,
Wow, man. Jesus Christ, it's been a long time since I spoke to you.
long time.
So you
Yeah.
would relate, I reckon, more than most, seeing you writing your raps and all that kind of craps. See what I did there.
I did see what you did there.
That you don't try to do it. It's not, it's that don't try thing, the Charles Bukowski thing that I talk about as well with don't try. And there's a few Chinese philosophies that talk about this. Where you go, I think, and there, I'll go to rap for you because Tupac was my thing back in the day. When I write rhymes, I go blind and let the Lord do his thing. Do you relate
Yeah,
to that?
well, totally. And I think that's why in my question to you, I put the word effort in quotation marks.
Yeah.
Because I do understand that, but I just wanted to get your perspective on it.
Yeah, so why? I mean, you say now that you're finally in a place where you fully realize on a deep level that you're much better off without weed. What's the difference now? What makes you realize that? I know you're a rapper, and I know I got a ton of rappers following me, and I reckon it's because they believe they need weed for creativity, right? I got an email recently saying, "Does post-THC creativity even exist?" And this was from a writer. There's rappers, there's painters. Is that why you were smoking for so long?
It's definitely part of it. I mean, as you know, it's complicated, right? But that was definitely part of it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the difference now that makes you know that you're better off without it? That's
I
a
would say just trial and error. Just trying over and over and over to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
So
just kind of stupid that way. It takes me a long time to learn.
we all are. I think that's why everybody's here, you know. We're all so stupid because we did it for so long. And you know, I smoked weed for over a decade, and the most of the time I was trying to quit, for real.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot to do with your environment. I realized that my main problem was that I was a drug dealer going from house to house to house to house, and everybody else was smoking weed. Everyone I knew was smoking weed, and most of them in hindsight were addicted. That was one of the biggest things. And what helped me a lot was changing my environment. So I had to quit selling. I knew that. I knew I had to quit selling because I'd either end up dead or in jail. And I knew that for a fact. It was becoming obvious as I got older that the career path was not permanent. And I think I even knew when I was young, I was smart enough to know this was a temporary gig. I thought I'd get in and out and be smart like everybody does. And it ended up being a huge problem, affecting my life in a huge way. And then here we are years later still talking about it, you know. It's crazy, yep. Man. It's crazy. But to answer your question, I'm not a Zen monk. I'm the last thing, a Zen master. I'm the furthest thing from that. But I have absolutely no problem doing it, though. Especially that time was really cool for me because it proved that I can just go to a place, sit down, make it about weed for a month. That's almost how you develop a habit, is to do that. But it was the change of environment. So when I go to that island, everybody's sitting on the beach doing that. That's what they do. It's illegal, but no one's policing it. The police are fine with it. It's just what the island's about. It's also a magic mushroom island. I don't know if you've been there. A few people reply to that email and have been to Koh Phangan or Koh Samui. You know, this is what those places are like. So, that was a really cool experience for me because I'd been without it for so long. Living in Indonesia, we just don't do it. You're kind of a bit mad if you do it here. The weed would be really shit and you're risking huge. You know, you're risking prison or worse. So we just don't do it here. It's not on the table. And that's really cool. That's helpful. Same with gambling. It's not on the table here. That's helpful. You take it out of your environment completely. It was so easy for me to just disappear from there, come back here, and then just snap out of it. Mostly because I can see the difference with everything, you know, from just my own happiness. It goes down after you're doing that for ages. It was a cool break or whatever, but if I keep doing it, it's monotonous, boring, and you just get it's starts to be unenjoyable, as you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the human condition, they reckon happiness can be summed up in one word, and that's progress. So that's what weed stops, right?
Right.
So what about your experience? I know you were spitting your raps. You were doing a rap a day for a while there.
Yeah. And then COVID hit and just fucked me right up.
How did that fuck you up? Didn't that give you more time?
No, because my work didn't close. And then I kind of had a massive awakening to the ways of the world, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people did, man. The whole world got shaken up that year. It was insane.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was just going down a lot of rabbit holes, learning a lot of things, research. And then, like I said, I was working. I was in a essential business. So I never stopped working. So that part never changed for me. So as far as time, I didn't have any more time.
And what about now and for the future now? What's going on? If you're going to stay quit, you're going to be more productive, but you have to put it towards something in order to achieve something, in order to be happy, in order to not go back to weed. So what's the plan?
Well, right now I am working on an album to put out. I'm about halfway done. And I really want to figure out how to make money online. You know, I was talking to you about that when we had our call. I was living in Vancouver at the time. That's where I was when COVID hit. Now I'm back home in Alberta, Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. And I really want to figure out how to make money online, because one thing COVID taught me is that the government can just all of a sudden tell you that you're not allowed to make money. And I don't like that.
Isn't that mad? Like, I was making money online, I think, for 8 years when COVID hit, probably longer, 10, 9, because I think it's 12 years now. So it's, and COVID's 3 years? 2.5?
About 2, I guess. A little over 2.
So, yeah. And but that's what taught me. I was like, wow, everyone's freaking out. They're like, oh, I have to stay home. Oh, no, I have to do this thing online or whatever. And it's just nothing changed for me. Nothing. You know, if anything, there was more people answering emails and doing all of that kind of thing. So it was a good opportunity, I think, for getting online. That's a huge leg of my business that I help people on, that a lot of y'all probably don't know about if you come through the Quit Weed funnel or whatever, is that I help people do the make money online thing. How do you want to do it? Is it through your app, or is it just another gig that you want to do to give you time for the app, or what's that?
Well, that's the thing, is I have no idea. And that's kind of been an issue with me my whole life, is I want to do everything, but then I don't do anything. else.
That's the hardest part, is getting rid of all the crap that is maybes, you know what I mean? Or all that kind of thing.
I'm just interested in everything. So I just got to pick something. So I don't know. I feel like I'm probably too old to do the rap thing at this point. It's just a good outlet and hobby for me. But I don't know. I just got to figure something out.
Yeah, don't have that attitude. Do it anyway. Be the old
Rap. Then I am. Like, I am doing it anyways. Like I said, I'm working on my album. I'm going to keep doing it like I always have. It's just maybe I'll put myself out there a lot more than I used to.
Yeah. And you know, rap is a lot like poetry as well, or whatever, writing.
It is poetry.
It is. It's poetry and it's writing. So yeah, you put that out on the internet anyway. If you're good at rap, you're probably good at that. And putting it out there does zero damage and only benefit, you know?
Yeah. And then I'm also going to start a Substack here pretty soon too, because I am definitely pretty decent at writing.
Substack is like a newsletter thing, right?
Yeah, it's like a direct to, I guess you'd say, consumer blog. Like, you get an email, however you get them, and then you put out your essay, blog, whatever you want to call it, and it goes straight to people's inbox.
Yeah, why would you get the third party involved, though? Because I got the same thing, but I figure I'm direct to consumer, right? I send an email, goes straight to you guys.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. How do you collect people's emails?
How would you do it on Substack?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
They're the outlets that you need, right? So for me, I got affiliates in YouTube. That's how I would do it. And also all these other completely small things that all add up. Things like Twitter, Quora, you know, things. Quora is good. Writing, Medium. There's a lot of things that I've tried. Medium didn't work out for me, but I could go back to it. But they all just bring in a tiny amount. Maybe 5-10 a month, something like that. But if you've done 50 of them, it starts to add up just over time. It's just doing... I decided in my 20s... Oh, Sumi, what are you saying? You need to quit for 5+ years now, bro. Welcome to our club. We've all been there. Substack.
Yep.
Basically subscribe to each other. Oh, yeah. And I think they got some kind of gig with Twitter, because I see in people's Twitter profile... it just says subscribe to my newsletter. It's like one click. And I remember I saw that and I'm like, oh, I'd like that for my newsletter. But I had to join Substack, I think, to do it. So I think they've got some kind of collaboration there.
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs yet, but I do know like the CEO, not CEO, he calls himself COO. I can't remember what it stands for. But he just put out a big letter talking about how he's so proud of Substack, because in this day and age, everybody's focused on computers. Software engineers, and everybody's so obsessed about coding and all that. And him and his partner took the other route with writing, because they find value in writing. And now they've got people on the platform that are making anywhere between $250,000 to $1 million a year just from Substack.
It's really easy with an email list. I can tell you should be earning $1 per email subscriber per month. And if you're earning copywriting, upwards of that. So it's, you look at all these I see the Instagram models and things like that just have like 2 million. And I'm like, oh, if only that was an email list, you know.
Geez. Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's worth so much more, right? You've got, so it goes from the bottom is TikTok. TikTok subscribers worth damn near nothing, because they just kind of, a view's worth nothing. It just means you scrolled through their phone. They didn't even watch the video maybe, but it still counts as a view. And then it just goes up from there, like TikTok to Snapchat, to Instagram, I guess Facebook, all of that kind of thing. YouTube kind of is the king of social media for that, with Twitter under that. And then email's just the king. Email's right on top. And it still is in 2022, if not more so, because everyone on social media is just another thing. Email, you kind of stop and read. You're forced to do it. So do that, man. Do your Substack.
Yeah, so I just got to figure it out. And then copywriting, I got to look into that too. I've been hearing a lot about that lately.
Copywriting is the number one skill. It's the only thing I cut down to do, because I've got a website business and a hosting business. And then I've got my quit addiction business. And then I've got my helping you know, coaching business or whatever. And I spent a lot of time in the early days learning how to code, learning how to do just WordPress and all these kind of things, which were just useless skills. I could hire someone for $5 an hour to do it all. But copywriting, you just can't hire someone. Some copywriters will hire, you know, they're $10,000 to write up one letter or whatever, one sales page. That's the skill that's worth all the money. They're the people making the big money. And if you just learn that skill, then you can hire everyone else to do everything else. Because everything else is a normal skill that's learnable in university or whatever. Copywriting's not. You kind of have to go, all the best copywriters that I know, the ones making big money, they're mostly high school dropouts or, you know.
Yeah, so I've been listening to this podcast from this guy. He's supposedly a really big copywriter. His name's Henry Bingaman.
Okay.
He's got a podcast called Getting Out of the Machine, which is basically exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. What's his name, Henry? What?
Bingaman.
Bingaman.
B-I-N-G, I think it's A-M-A-N.
All right, I'll check him out.
But apparently in the world of copywriting, he's like one of the big wig mega money makers. And he was, you know, he's part of Corporate America for a lot of years, but then with COVID, he's a bit of a libertarian minded fellow. So he's very against all the mandates and everything. So he basically gave up his whole corporate life and dedicated himself to teaching people how to get out of the machine, like his podcast is called.
Get Out of the Machine.
Yeah.
Man, there's the most popular guy on the internet today is, I forgot his name, but he's that real misogynistic dude on YouTube. And he runs something called Hustle University, and it's the worst. It's just a horrible thing. He'll come and go. His stats are going to look like this because he's just saying things to get views.
Who's this guy?
God, man, I don't even know his name, but he's a... Nah, not Grant Cardone. He's at least mature. Now, this guy's younger.
Gary Vee?
Not Gary Vee. not Andrew Tate. This guy's... Is it Andrew Tate? It might be Andrew Tate. Let me look up a picture of Andrew Tate.
So many people.
This guy's the worst. It's Andrew Tate. He's number one right now, and he's the worst. Yeah, thank you, iPhone XS. You're Mitch, right? Mitch from Florida. Yeah. Dude, he's the worst. And he's just basically running a Hustlers University, which is an MLM. He won't call it that. He'll call it a degree in escaping the matrix. And he'll call himself Neo. And he'll say women are inferior to him. And he, you know, he could beat any of the boxers in the world today. He just doesn't bother. You know, all these kind of, he just makes claims that are insane, you know. And anytime he's talking, there's like a girl massaging his back. He's a complete misogynist. He's insane. He does look like a douche. He is a douche. And it's so funny that you guys... It's a mean as even, isn't he a scammer? Yes. Yes. But he scams. He does the Donald Trump thing. So say what you want about Donald Trump, but Donald Trump will just repeat things and repeat things and repeat things, and it's very persuasive to many, many people. And this is what the same kind of thing this guy does. It doesn't matter the content of what you're saying or political, whatever. I don't give a shit about that. I'm just saying about persuasion. And that's what he's doing right. What he's doing wrong is on the back end content, and anyone that's decent online, like you know, CoffeeZilla or all these people that look into this kind of thing, have looked into him, and it's terrible what he's teaching. He's just teaching you to become an Amazon, you know, to work for Jeff Bezos basically, and to promote his program, which teaches how to work for. So it's great for Amazon, you know,
yeah,
and it's great for his ego, and it's great for his wallet short term, but. In 1 year, he's going to be nobody, and he's, you know, he'll do the Dan Bazinga, the guy on Instagram that was the Playboy guy. He just went right to the top and then just destroyed himself.
You don't know who that is?
Sumit, do you know who he is? Dan Bilzerian? Bilzerian?
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
He said he made all his money playing poker, and then he had this weed business, and in reality, it was just he had his dad's money. That was it.
Right.
You know? It's so funny.
Dollar show.
Supposedly a Navy SEAL too. I mean, he had the six pack, but it was 100% a gym six pack. It was not a Navy SEAL six pack. Anyway, Sumit, did you send in a question? Or Tamina or Eddie? Ask someone chuck something in. Or Sumit, if you want to go voice, we can do that too. Am I saying your name right? I get very submit. I probably am. Sorry I was so late. It's all right, Adam. You come when you come, you know? That's fine. I feel miserable every time I quit and I can't relax, Tamina.
I hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep trying to quit. Eventually that will subside.
Well, also, you need an outlet for it, so... Yes. Tamina, I know, has gone a while without it, and I always talk about this, whether you quit days, weeks, or months, and she's done months, but it's without the replacement. And there's also background things. Oh, yeah. I feel empty, almost hollow. It's almost the same kind of thing, and it's a misery. It's the drop in dopamine. I talked about this in the last video, which a guy, one of the questions that I should get to, I said I'll get to all the email questions, so I better do that as well. Is that you've smoked weed for so long, for so many days, for so many years, so often that your dopamine receptors have increased to the point where they're just, you have way too many. So now when you go about a normal lifestyle, there's no way that you're going to feel the same amount of appreciation. So you need to go through that point that does feel dumb, and you can describe it as misery. I can't relax, miserable, empty, almost hollow. These kind of things, it's exactly what it is. But the part that lets you know that you're doing the right thing is that that's you fixing your brain, because you need to feel that in order for your brain to switch off your dopamine receptors. Otherwise, you've got too many and you're always going to have too many. And then you're always going to feel empty, hollow, misery, whatever. And then, so you need to go through that period in which to overcome the problem physically in your brain. That's your brain actually has to physically change to come down to it. So it lasts forever. It doesn't, Tamina. And also for you, Tamina, I know you're building a business online, and she's got a cool little Amazon gig going on. And I want to ask you this, Tamina. If that Amazon thing took off, do you think you'd still feel miserable? Yeah, no. I like it. Yes, no. But I know with the timing of when you said yes and no. So it's okay. Yeah. No, you wouldn't. Because you're going to have all this serotonin because of fulfillment, right? It's the progression of becoming better than you were before. So, in that business in particular, there's some things that scare you to do, right? There's kind of, yeah, freedom. That's what I always say. Like, I'm a freedom fighter, whether I'm helping you quit an addiction or helping you get out of the matrix or whatever, however you put it as well. Nick, you were saying something about what? Escape the what?
Getting out of the machine.
Getting out of the machine. I love it, man. It takes me back like 8 years when I was, that's what like I was fighting so hard for and all of that kind of thing. And I'd be doing it a couple of years and I hadn't got to that point. And then kind of quit weed was first to pop off, and then I was just free in like a month. I went from nothing to having a passive
Really?
that gave me freedom. Yeah. And
Wow.
I made that quit weed program in about a month too.
Crazy.
Yeah. But I was lucky.
I got like the one of the earliest versions of it, I
I was terrible. The first one,
think.
I remember the dude bought it, and I was like, man, I've got an, there's an Evolve already subscriber. He's not here. No, he's not here. But we worked together for, he's been with me for 5 years at least. And we created a program. He created a program, and he helps people with stuttering, right? And so he wanted to do kind of the same thing, just write an ebook. He didn't want to be on video or any of that kind of thing. He did it. He released it. It got his first sale. And there was a technical issue. When you're first making a, like when you first set up one of these sales funnels, there's always going to be a problem with it. And a lot of the times the customer will buy and there's just nothing there, or it goes to an error page or whatever. And that's what happened. And the person wrote him an email and said, hey, man, I just bought your program and I haven't got anything. And he's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Here's your refund. And it was just because he was like, he felt guilty because he's like, oh man, I just earned money for no reason or whatever. The same thing happened to me with Quit Weed program. When I first, you didn't get the first version because I don't know, man, you wouldn't still be here if you did, but it was a 30 page PDF and that was it. And it was $37, I remember. And then I sold it and the first customer bought it and I was freaking out. I was like, what, And I remember saying to my girlfriend at the time, I'm like, oh, this is a really big deal. And she's like, she was so unsupportive. She's like, whatever, it's $37. Who cares? And I'm like, you don't get it. The sales funnel works. Like, this is, I've won the lottery. We'll figure it out from here. It's cool, but we have some results. She was like, whatever, it's not a big deal. And then she was so unsupportive, that bitch. Anyway, she's gone. And anyway, he bought it for $37 and it was a 30 page PDF. And I'm like, man, this is not going to be a good. This ain't going to go down well. And then anyway, he wrote an email off his own bat. He just wrote, hey, Seb, because I called myself Seb Grand in the
Yeah,
book.
I remember
Oh, you bought when I was Seb?
that.
Yeah. Anyone that calls me Seb Grand is an OG, man. Anyway, he
I'll
wrote,
never just sorry to interrupt. I'll never forget when you sent out that thing revealing your real name. I was like, what the fuck is up with that, man?
What was that, the email or the video? I did it twice.
I can't remember. I just remember you revealed your name, and I was like, well, that's weird.
That was funny, and it was such a big deal to me because – anyway, I'll get to
you
that.
You had to do it. You had to do it.
I just had to do it because I felt like a fraud, and I just wanted to be – I wanted to be real. I wanted to be like
– For sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to lie to anyone, and I felt guilty every time someone called me Seb. And to be honest, I think Seb Grant's a better name. I like it. Someone wrote a comment in one of that video I wrote, because that's on YouTube anyway, that video I made. And they said, if my name was Tristan, I'd change it too, lol. And I was like, ah, you bastard. But yeah, that's funny. Anyway, he wrote an email and said, hi, man, I just bought your Quit Weed program. Hi, Seb Grant. I just bought your Quit Weed program. I just want you to know that this is the best program I've found on the topic, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that at all, you know? And then that's what I call now, it's a huge part of what I teach in Evolve already and a huge part of my lessons. It's called marketplace feedback. So for you, Nick, when you put out your album, and until you do it, you won't be the same. It's a really weird moment, is you need marketplace feedback. Now that can come in the form of, hey, thank you, whatever. And that's the best kind. That's what I was studying a book, Ray Bradbury, I don't know, hugely famous author, or that I got his name wrong. Oh, Ray Bradbury. I read a book of his yesterday, and it's like an on writing type book. And he was saying exactly the same thing. If you're writing for money, if you're writing for fame, if you're writing for any of these reasons, you're going to fail. It's impossible to make that work. But if you're, like we were saying before, if you just go blind and what is it? When I write rhymes, I go blind and let the Lord do his thing. I reckon that's the best way to explain it, is that when it comes out quick and it's just not difficult, that's when you're doing the exact right thing, you know? And this
well,
is
just, and not just quick, I think more importantly is just that it's genuine.
Yeah, it has to be honest, which was a big reason why I had to change my name from Seb Grant.
Exactly. You made the right move, man.
So funny though, you know, so funny. And another reason that I was so hesitant, that took me a year to do, by the way. Because I kept saying, no, I'll lose everyone because I lied to them or whatever. And also, I had admitted to all my drug dealing. The way I sold Quit Weed was I was just honest about, I was a drug dealer. Here's what I went through. Here's what happened. Here's who got shot. You know, it was just all my whole true story, but it wasn't me. But I was also admitting to all these crimes that were definitely illegal where I came from. As soon as I left Canberra, by the way, and moved to Bali, everything became way more decriminalized over there, and I'd almost be fine if I was doing what I was doing before now. But then I just realized, screw it. There's laws, and they have a reason. And the reason for the law would be to stop me from selling again. But if I was to ever go to court for what I did, you could just look at my lifestyle now and what I do. What do? I help people quit weed. I definitely don't have any. Search my fucking, search everything. You know, you can't really pin it on me anymore. So when I learned legally that it's okay, that's when I finally did it. But it was still, it took some, I don't know, man. It took me a while to do it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You were living a lie.
I was living a lie, bro. Tamina, Mitch wrote, thanks, have a good night. I mean, iPhone MXS, Mac. I know what phone you got, but he said before his name's Mitch. So see you, Mitch, that's my problem. Tamina, right? Yes, that's right. It's fear, and the weed keeps it at bay. So that's always what it is with someone that can't quit if it's taken months, especially, is that in your everyday life, your life condition is not matching who you want to be. It's called dissonance. If the person you are being is not the person you want to be, you create a dissonance, which gives you stress, right? This also raises cortisol, lowers serotonin, and of course, will make you, just to feel any happiness at all, will make you gravitate towards pleasure, which is just dopamine, which weed provides. So you're getting the dopamine hit, which you think makes you happy. If that's a brainwash, that's not true. So that's a thing that takes a while to unlearn. And also it's just diminishing the feeling that you don't enjoy and you don't like. And then you'll know by what triggers you. So if you think, to me now, I'm this Amazon millionaire, but I'm only earning $1,000 a month or whatever the difference is, that's it. That's the feeling. That's what it is. So you either make your dream more realistic or you up your action to get closer to your dream. And it's kind of clever to do both, because then you're in an alignment with who you are. And you're not doing it for the money or the fame. You're doing it because it's what you want to do. And then that's when you get to purpose, which doesn't go away. That's the good thing. Hey, Sumit, you didn't answer me. Am I saying your name right when I say it? And also, what was your question? Actually, I'll go to one of the questions that I promised I'd answer. How's that?
Can I add something that might help everybody that I learned recently?
Please do.
So it's this concept, and
I just noticed you. Go on.
Try. That's okay. I don't know where this came from. I can't remember. I heard it on a podcast I listened to called The Way Forward, but it's this old ancient philosophy, and it's called identical identities. And so the idea is that, or not philosophy, I guess idea or whatever you want to call it, but the idea is that we create these identities. So like a weed smoker, and you create this identity, and after so long, it's just like, that's your identity. And that is the exact reason that it's so hard to change, because you created it. So think about like when you create a child, you don't just love the child because it's your child, it's because you created it. Just like when I create my art, I love it because I created it. It's like I identify with it. So you create this person, and that's part of why it's so hard to change. It's this identical identity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course it does. And also, if you identify as a stoner, which almost everyone that's been through where we have been has, that's really hard to let go of. And there's a thing called sunk cost fallacy, which is you've spent 10 years being a stoner, now you want to be the best damn stoner or whatever it is. It's a funny kind of thing. You've got momentum in that lifestyle, and people identify, you identify as it, and people see you as it as well. So if you change it, you think you've lost all that momentum that you've built up over time, right? This is why people stay in shitty relationships, because they've already wasted 10 years in it. Why you can't leave now or whatever. It's the same kind of thing, but you also have a relationship with yourself.
Sorry, it's a toboggan in fresh snow. Like you just keep going down that same line because you've already made that groove. So you just keep going down that same line in the snow.
That is a great analogy as well for neural networks. If you think,
yeah, exactly.
So there's cause and effect. This happens, I do that. This happens, I do that. So you're creating neural networks in your brain, and they become superhighways. And once they're superhighways, they're physically harder to change. So you want to take a new path, but those two neural networks don't even join anymore. Force them to join. So now if you're doing something that you don't feel like doing or whatever, and this is what took me a year to do when I came out of Seb Grant. So I was here talking about quit weed, because that was my truth. But I was getting so much just hate from my friends and all of that kind of thing, because they knew me as a drug dealer and all that kind of thing. I was going against my own identity. I felt like a dick talking about quitting weed when weed was my whole life or whatever. And I knew that a lot of people I was talking to felt that way as well. And I got a lot of shit for it, right? People would say things. But after doing it for a couple of years, the neural pathways had changed in a way where my identity had changed. So that I had the new toboggan path, you know? And once you've got the new toboggan path doing it, I use desire lines as an analogy with Evolve already, which is, you know, in university campuses, they don't put cement footpaths down anymore. They just let the students walk where they walk. And the students will naturally walk in the best way. And then they follow those desire lines and put the footpath down afterwards, rather than creating a footpath that no one uses and cuts corners on and all that kind of thing. So this comes to so meat. Oh, so meat. So I was saying it wrong. So meat. I'm sorry. this comes to what you were saying, though. If you've done it so many times, and also Tamina, if you've done it so many times and you keep going back to it and back to it, you're doing the work. So eventually the neural networks are going to change, and it's going to become easy, and it won't be an instant moment. It definitely wasn't for me, you know. No. When I sent that email saying, I'm Sam Grant, that wasn't that morning I decided to wake up and do it. It was a year later when I was finally, it aligned with what I believed, you know,
which is. Yeah, like all those times that I was quitting, I was so hard on myself for, I would beat myself up so much for failing, for relapsing. But in retrospect, I needed that. It was actually making me stronger.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how I look at it.
And what do you think's the benefit or non-benefit of beating yourself up?
The non-benefit?
Well, what's the pros and cons of beating yourself up?
Oh, there is no pros.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing. You point out a very good point is I think that after so many times, I mean, we're talking like 20 years of doing this to myself. I think that it's not that I got sick of the weed. I got sick of beating myself up. And I just eventually was like, this is madness. Like, yeah. How can I keep doing this to myself?
And it is madness. And it's the old you, it's your old identity grasping for air, struggling to survive. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It will do anything to survive. And it's ego-based.
Yep.
It's all ego-based. It's who you think you are and who you think you want to be is trying to hold on to being that person because it thinks it helps your survival. And it does.
Yep.
An ancient belief. I beat myself up too. Something to think on. Yo, Devin, what are you up to? I got your attention. All right, if Devin's going to take a sec, I'll get to one of these questions. How did you start your online business was one of them. I don't think that... Oh, no, that didn't come from you. I think that was someone else. These are long stories, though. I shouldn't be doing that. Here's a question from... This was from the Quit Alcohol guys. I don't know who it is, though. I didn't write it down. Why do I find it difficult to drink alcohol just sometimes with friends? I always want to just drink socially, but then I take it too far and get drunk and end up binge drinking for months. Yeah, because alcohol is addictive. That's the normal default position, you know. The amazing weird part is that people can drink socially and take it or leave it. That's the part that's weird, you know, I find anyway. I think it's a very normal thing to end up going too far with alcohol because that's what it's designed to do. It's an addictive substance. So the worst thing you can do is try to fit in socially with your friends and drink with your friends if that's not what you want to do, because there's no benefit to doing that. You know, it's just kind of normal. What you're doing is normal. And if you want to quit and go without it forever, that's fine. Just do that. And if you don't, it's fine, but at least go 30 days without it. And that's the same goes with weed and cigarettes too, but cigarettes you should just quit. Always do 30 days before you make any decision on the matter. I can't answer. I get errors. See, I'm the millennial here and you're the boomer. I can get it done with problems and you can't get it done, Devin. All right, so yeah, wait. Let's see if I can get through this, because if we do have a replay, I want to give it out to people that... And I did say in the email, I promise I'll answer your question if you send it to me. A quick gambling guy, how am I addicted to gambling when there is no drug involved? There is a drug involved. It's called dopamine, and it comes from the anticipation of the drop. The biggest lie with gambling, and I was a gambler big time, I was the worst, is that you think that you're there to get lucky and make some money. And the one time that blew my mind with gambling was when I was in such a bad place. This is before Quit Weed took off. So I had like no money. I had quit selling drugs. I had gambled all the money I had from the cash flow, which wasn't much. People think that I got away with weed, like selling weed with this whole capital, and that's why I'm, you know, able to live in Bali, is because I have all this money. No, man, I quit selling weed with just my capital at the time. I didn't save any money the entire time I was doing it. So I had exactly $22,600, I remember. And I gambled all of it. That was my... Because I thought, well, now I don't have a job. I'm going to need an income or some way to make money. And I had the worst idea in the world and thought, why don't I try and gamble this? And I did. And I lost it all. And then I was just living off nothing. So then I remember one day, this was the time it really became evident to me that I wasn't gambling for money at all. In Canberra, everyone has a club. We have more slot machines in Canberra per capita than Las Vegas. Mostly because the population is only 500,000. But every single suburb has a casino. They call it a club, but it's a casino with 1 million slot machines and all that kind of thing. So anyway, I went to my local one, which is a short walk, as it always is, no matter where you live. And I went there and I only had a couple $100. And I'm like, I'm going to make it so I have $500 and then I'm going to leave. That way I can pay rent. That was my thought. And I went in and I did two $5 hits and I got the jackpot and then I had $500. But I didn't leave, of course. I thought, well, I'm on a lucky machine here. I'm going to make it. It's time to make it. So I kept playing and I played with all of that money and then I took out more money and I put that in and I lost and I ended up way down. I just lost everything. That's what I did every time when I gambled. And that was the first time I realized I'm not here to make money. What I was there for was what we call the drop. And the drop is the dope. It's what, so this whole industry, there's a whole industry of people that are smarter than any of us that are, their job is to make you keep gambling. And so what they do is they will focus on the drop. And the drop is the time that you push the button to the time you know the result, whether you win or lose. And that's the time when your adrenaline and dopamine will peak. And they will keep it at a random interval. It has to be random or it doesn't work. And that is the reason that you gamble. I can promise you it's not to make money. It's not to lose. You don't hate yourself and you want to lose money. You don't think you're lucky and you're going to make your, you know, make rent. It's nothing like that. It is the drop. You're addicted to the drop. And the drop doesn't exist in just gambling. It also happens with things like weed. And I noticed it too. When I'd sell people weed, they were kind of high when they picked the bag up. You know, like there's a moment between when you order the weed and when you pick it up. That's kind of a drop. And then there's a moment between when you pick up the weed and then go home and smoke it. That's a drop too. So there's kind of two highs before you get to the actual physical adding of the dopamine receptor.
Signal. And as you're preparing it.
Chopping up.
And one thing I want to say, is, you probably know this, but I'll just mention this. Did you know that the slot machine, that action where you pull down the thing, it operates the exact same part of your brain that operates when you swipe on social media.
Yeah, and swiping on social media, I've been thinking recently, just because of replies to my emails, that I should do a kind of a little bit on that on Evolve Ready, do a course on it, because I don't know, there's people addicted to, so most of my list is weed or alcohol, right? There's a few gamblers, not many, but they speak up a lot, but they don't buy very often. So it's not a very, it wasn't a successful course. So I kind of got rid of it. And then there's the cigarette guys, okay, which are just constant. It's the biggest industry, but not the biggest part of my list. So I'm willing to bet that almost all of them are also addicted to the scroll. Do you know what I mean? And they don't even know if it's a problem or not. You know, you're both nodding. Is that a thing you reckon?
For sure it is, 100%. Like, would I recognized it.
Social media.
Well, I got rid of it because of that fact.
Yeah, but we shouldn't have to get rid of it, right?
I know, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I reopened my accounts, but I've been so hesitant to actually get back on there because I know that it's a problem. I didn't, but I realized it in 2020. I remember I suddenly was like, whoa, I am addicted to this. Like, mm-hmm. I'm wasting so much time.
Especially those Instagram reels, it becomes difficult to stop. You know, that's the worst part, is that they all did it. So I didn't do TikTok only because I read the privacy policy. If you have TikTok, you know they can read your keyboard, what you type into things that aren't even TikTok. Like, TikTok's insanely invasion of privacy. So I didn't do it because of that. Yeah, they can
see everything. So is what we're on now.
What?
So is what we're on now. Zoom.
Oh, but it can't see. What TikTok can do is, if I have TikTok on my phone, it can see what I write on my laptop. Right? Yeah, it can go from one to the other. Zoom can't go outside its own app.
No, but I don't know. I don't want to get into all the...
Yeah, we don't know. I know. It's deep. It's a deep-ass rabbit hole. And I guess at the end of the day, you've got to not care, because if they've got everyone's, what does it matter? It's like the time when they had a phone book. No one cared what your phone number was. Now they get rid of the phone book and suddenly that's private information.
Right.
TikTok will analyze what you have in your background. Yeah. Well, all I know is TikTok seems to be the worst. That's what the experts seem to say. It's the worst one. But anyway, that's what I thought was really bad. And like, I won't do it. I'm just going to skip this whole thing and it's going to blow up and I don't care. I'm not going to be a part of it. But then Instagram did the stupid thing, right? And I was a Snapchat. I was like big on Snapchat back, you know, a few years ago when it was a big deal. Then Instagram brought it in, and I was, you know, I had the forethought to see that it's going to take Snapchat out, and it did. But now that Facebook's done it, YouTube's done it, you know, it's really bad for everyone, I think. It's bad for the attention span of everyone. And yeah. I noticed that with, so watch time on YouTube or something like that, is down across the whole platform. And that's because they also have Reels. Half the time you open YouTube, it opens in Reels. And then people are getting trained to just watch 5-second things instead of 10-second things. Movies in the future are going to be 1 minute long. I think it's going to have a complete turnaround. We've had this cycle before. If you've ever read, I think, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about how it went from a character-based human, like we wanted to build character. That's what humans wanted to do, and that was what gave us the advantage in life, to an ego image-based thing. And that's what happened, you know, in the 1920s or whatever. And it's gone back a little bit, and now it's going back to the ego thing with IG. And I think it'll come back again. You're going to stand out and be different if you actually talk long form, if you can tell a long story. People are going to get over this shit, and they're going to pick their niche. The problem now is everybody's famous, so now it has to go into channels again, which is actually really funny. Which one do you use? Is it what's the social media problem? Biggest problem you think? So, mate, you said Instagram, right? What was your problem, Nick? Instagram or what? And Tamina, do you use it in England or what?
For me, it was Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. Zuckerberg. All right, let me see if I can get through these last few questions. How did you start your online business? I think I'd have to do a whole thing on that. That's a really big, long question. And Tamina never fell into the trap. Can't stand social media. Yeah. You know what? It's like smoking. Don't even start if you haven't started. I think you've done really well. It's a quick weird question that came in. What advice can you give people with CHS? For those that don't know, that's cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. This is where people have serious physical problems with it, weight loss, muscle pain, nausea, and it's to do with their kidneys. So they smoke weed so much that their bodies are actually starting to shut down, and they still can't quit. So that's where it gets to be a serious physical problem. These people aren't maybe should quit whatever, which is most of the people I help. These people have a serious problem. They're going to be in hospital if they can't quit. So I'm not really qualified to give you advice on that because it would be completely unique to you. Go to see your doctor. That's what you need to do. From Naqueeb, wrote from the quit alcohol, but he's talking about quit weed. Hi, Tristan. I liked how you said, allow the urge, don't resist it. In your replay YouTube video, I can resonate to this. And as I threw the habit of drinking and smoking in the bin, what you were saying is 100% accurate. I can see how this would expand your audience, as many viewers are lost when it comes to stopping smoking. One weakness I outlined was your YouTube thumbnails and titles were not intriguing, meaning many viewers will not click on your video. This could be losing around 20-25% of sales. Oh, yeah, no. Now he's just going into selling me a... I've put together a beneficial written form of text using rare research, which I will show you precisely what I'm talking about. Okay, he's just selling something. He's probably right, though.
Yeah, maybe worth looking into.
Maybe worth looking into. I will request it. Sir, thank you. What do you think about coffee and quitting weed? Oh, man, coffee's always my problem. You know, it's not a problem. I like it. I don't care. I will always drink coffee. I get the benefits. I get the bad things, but I just do it anyway. As long as I don't do it in the PM. So for me, it's like AM, I'll go nuts on it, and PM, I won't. But I will say that when you first quit weed, you can't drink the coffee that you could when you smoked weed, because weed increases your metabolism and push it down, so you can just keep intaking it almost like alcohol. You know, most dudes or what girls can just drink a lot of alcohol, beer, wine, whatever you drink, until you pass out, which is weird. If you can drink 10 beers, imagine they were water and you went and drank 10 waters. It'd just be weird. You wouldn't be able to do it, but we've trained ourselves to do it with alcohol, and people train themselves to do it with caffeine. But caffeine will elevate your cortisol levels as well, so it's going to make you a little bit more stressed. Obviously, that's what it does. And it affects men and women differently. So I can speak to only the men's side of it. But yeah, you can't drink as much coffee as you did when you were smoking weed for sure, and you will also notice the negative effects more, like not being able to sleep and all that kind of thing. Who is your favorite comedian? Yeah, we've got a few. These aren't too relevant. C.K. Lewis and Gary Goldman. That's what my two favorites are. Did any of you
Andrew
guys have a
Schultz.
favorite comedian?
Andrew Schultz.
Andrew Schultz.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, Andrew Schultz. I know he's the one that does the back and forth with people a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
He's hilarious.
he's pretty witty, man. I'll just write that down. All right, cool. I think we got through it. Who's still here? So, V, Tracy, Tamina, Sumit, Nikisha, Eddie's. Is that like Eddie's phone? Adam and Nick. Thank you so much, guys, for attending. I'm going to start doing these each week, and we're going to get a different group of people coming. And I haven't even promoted them yet. So, this is really cool that we get these people on something that I've never really promoted. Cheers. Good work. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, I'm glad you did this. Thanks, Tristan.
Yeah, no problem, Nick. I'm going to
Or
keep.
should I say Seb?
Well, you can. There's one guy. There's one guy that answers every email I write with, thanks, Seb. And he knows that it's not, but he does it anyway. Adam,
That's funny.
thank you. Sumit, thank you. Eddies, thank you. So, guys, if you want on the page where you, hey, Tamina, good to have a Sunday calls back. Keep it around this time. Well, Tamina, you've got Tuesday calls too in Evolve already. So, this is where we actually like pop everyone out and talk. And there will be less people on that. When I start promoting them, they're both going to fill up a little bit. But that's where people are paying money. So, it's better because we just talk privately, like we used to do one-on-one calls all together. And the one-on-one calls are still there, but they're not free anymore because I ran out of time doing free calls for everybody for 6 months, man. Yeah, cool. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. Put it in your calendar if you want. It's on the how much a one-on-one. Sumit, if you join Evolve already, Evolve already is $49 and you get a free one-on-one on entry. So you're not going to get it cheaper than like I used to charge $297 for the when I was doing the crypto calls, and the cheapest I ever made the actual calls was $197. You join Evolve already, it's $49, you get a free one-on-one straight away. So if you just join for 1 month, you're going to get access to the free content. There's a lot more in Evolve already, so that's the best way to do it. And then you'll get access to my one-on-one calendar for one call for free anyway. So, cheers! All right, thank you guys. Thank you so much for attending. I hope to see you again next week. Go to the page where you joined this, and you can chuck it in your calendar, and then you won't forget to come next week. And I'll just keep doing them week after week, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Bye, old Tamina. Okay. See you guys. Thank you so
Thank you,
much.
sir.
Cheers.
Later.
Bye.